Senator Ring.
Here.
Senator Hayes.
Here.
Senator Bullard. Senator Latvala.
Here.
Senator Legg. A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I was going to be kind of mean to everyone and wait to tell them that Senate Bill 724 was TP, but I'll do it at the beginning so we can now clear the room. Goodbye, League of Cities. Senator Legg is excused from today's meeting. Okay, Senator Brin, you are on tab two, and it is CSSB 1436.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 1436 creates two new public records exemptions related to court documents. The bill provides a public records exemption for documents relating to a matter or case governed by the Florida rules of family law, such as alimony, dissolution of marriage, parenting plans, and paternity of publicly available website. In addition to providing public records exemption for the documents and family law matters, this bill provides an exemption for petitions or injunctions that are filed but later dismissed. So in other words, if you get accused of a family domestic matter and it is summarily dismissed without any cause, that's not a public record. We had some people that were falsely accused and that was on a public record, and that's what this is. And there's an amendment that was asked for the clerks, that put on by the clerks.
Just barcode 724828 by Senator Bullard, who's not here, so I'll take that amendment. Are you recognized to explain the amendment?
Thank you. This amendment adds the words, "and any record created from such," in three places. This is to ensure that the entire record of petition for injunction that is dismissed will be confidential and exempt. The clerks are concerned that the current language of the bill intended this, but due to the way the records are indexed and kept electronically, just saying contents of the file would not accomplish this. That is the amendment.
Okay. Well, let's adopt the amendment. Without objection, show the motion adopted. I see no questions. I have no public testimony. I have no debate. You waive. Debate or questions? Senator Latvala, you're up. I tried. I really tried hard, Senator Brannon.
It's a shame that Senator Soto or Senator Joyner are not here to assist in asking these questions, since they question virtually every public records exemption that's come through this year. So since they're not here, let me ask, when it says a public record that relates to a matter or case governed by the Florida Family Law Rules of Procedure, well, wouldn't that be a divorce?
It could be a divorce. If there was a matter of but if it was something that was a and it's not divorces completely. It's only things that are dismissed, so which means there has to be an accusation in that divorce, I guess you could say. So, like, for instance, an accusation of somebody getting domestic battery, domestic violence in it, and that's dismissed, and that's dismissed it's summarily dismissed, then that wouldn't be a public record. But it's everything else in the divorce is a public record. That would normally be a public record.
So only where in here does it say it has to be dismissed to not be a public record?
I'll read it exactly. Hold on a second. That's the amendment. Excuse me one second.
Do we know where that situation is? Does anyone on staff know where that is in the bill? The question was, Senator Laval, can you ask?
Yeah, can you?
Where in here does it say that only those things that are dismissed are exempt from the public record?
Senator Latvala, mm-hmm. There's two exemptions. There's one on the Florida family law provision, and then there's another one on injunctions related to stalking, domestic violence. If it's an injunction action related to domestic violence and it's dismissed, then that is no longer in the public record. The family law issue is not related to that being dismissed.
So you have two different public records exemptions in the same bill?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a problem?
No, sir. Not if they are somewhat related. And in this case, their family law or their family law related.
So the family law, run that by me again. Explain, in both cases, they have to be dismissed before they're not a public record?
No, sir. Only in the second instance, dealing with the domestic violence, stalking, the, I think, I forget which, there's four or five different types of injunctions.
Sexual violence.
If those petitions are dismissed, then they do not go into the public record.
Okay, that's the second type.
Yes, sir.
The first type would include basically all divorce documents, would it not?
I'd have to defer to the sponsor.
No. I would really rather we have either legal counsel for the committee or a staff person answer that question.
Staff person is out of the office.
Our counsel isn't an issue. Can we get her in?
She's doing another amendment right now.
Action. Another way. She's on her way. We have staff counsel on her way. So
there's
Can I refer you to something?
There's obviously a sensitive point that I've got with this.
I refer to you to something, to a portion in the staff analysis that may answer something? If you go to page 5, and that's the Florida Family Law Rules Procedure, which is the part that you're questioning.
Is this who we're waiting on?
Yeah, yes. But we need to give her some time to sit down and get caught up a little bit on this.
All right, I'm on page 5 of the staff summary.
Which kind of says what I'm saying, which is that the things that arise from a divorce, such as the things that we say in the first part, are what it is. So if you look at the part where it gives you the Family Law Rule Procedure 12.010A1 provides that, and then kind of read that part.
I want to know what this bill, okay, on the second half of the bill that deals with the complaints that are dismissed, complaints for injunctions that are dismissed. I understand what those are. But how about the first part of the bill, which deals with things dealt with by the Florida Family Law Rules of Procedure? What is actually exempt from public records based on those rules?
It would be everything covered by the rules of family law.
Which is the divorce agreement. Is it not?
It would include divorce agreements, premarital, marital, postmarital agreements.
So your divorce agreement would be?
That's a big time. I can't. And what does the First Amendment Foundation said about this?
Oh, they don't like any of these. So I don't know.
They're more aggressive on some than they are
Let me step back. I want to make sure we get started. So Grace, essentially, is this bill, this is the question, does it basically exempt all divorce agreements, premarital, postmarital, from public records? Is that a consequence of this bill?
Yes, it would make them confidentially exempt.
Well, can we... If you don't mind, Senator Brennan, do we mind doing a quick amendment to?
Is it okay if I if we TP the bill?
Let's TP this for good or for momentarily?
For the moment, let me.
Let's do it for the moment. You can work with our counsel, and let's see if we can get that part right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, I saw Senator Grimsley came in.
Her aide's here. She'd be happy to present the bill.
Well, if she's not here, let's go to. Okay, Senator. Hold on, we're fixing another. Okay, Senator Grimsley is also, they're fixing an amendment for Senator Grimsley. So let us go to Devin West for Senator Altman, tab 3, CSSB 702. Senator Grimsley, I guess they're still working on your amendment. You're going to withdraw that amendment? Okay. No, she's got so you'll withdraw that amendment, so if you don't mind. Okay, so Senator Grimsley. We are going to go to tab 4, CSSB 1306.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill creates a public record and a public meeting exemption relating to the Nurse Licensure Compact. And the Nurse Licensure Compact is a separate bill moving through, didn't come to this committee. But what that does is very similar to the Driver's License Compact, where you can practice in any state that is a member of the compact. The bill creates a public meeting exemption for commission meetings at which any of the following are discussed: employment, compensation, discipline, or other personnel matters, practices, or procedures related to specific employees, or other matters related to the commission's internal personnel practices; current, threatened, or reasonably anticipated litigation, accusing a person of a crime; trade secrets or commercial or financial information that is privileged; and active investigatory records compiled for law enforcement purposes. We amended this bill at the last stop. The First Amendment Foundation is neutral, and we've been working with the Justice Association. So there are some technical amendments your staff have been working on, but the first one I have seen, I don't feel is necessary. The Justice Association nor the First Amendment Foundation feel is necessary. And the second one, I haven't had time to really look at it, but we're going to look at it a little bit more going forward.
Okay. So are we going to do amendment barcode 571370?
We're going to withdraw that.
We're going to withdraw that one. Okay. And then we have another amendment which hasn't been barcoded yet, which I guess we're not going to get to that either.
No.
So, okay, we draw whatever amendment that was. So we're on questions. Senator LaValla.
Sorry. Tell me about the public records exemption for disciplinary matters that come before this commission.
Well, the disciplinary matters that I discussed have to do with the employees of the compact, not nurses. So, for example, right now the compact doesn't have any employees, but when they do, if there was a disciplinary action with the administrative assistant, it would be exempt.
Okay, so the compact is basically a licensure apparatus for nurses that operate in more than one state?
It is, and you'll get to see that bill in appropriations this week, hopefully.
Okay, so nurses that only operate in Florida are regulated by the DBPR, and the apparatus for DBPR and their employees personnel files and all that, that's all public record. So what would be the justification of this compact group having an exemption?
Okay. Well, first of all, they're not regulated by DBPR. They're regulated by Department of Health. But that is all public record, and you can go online now and get that. This is specifically to the compact and the compact's employees. Those are the people who administer the compact. Nothing would change about the nurse's information. That was, you'd still be able to access that. So if you want to know the status of my license, you can still go online and get that. The actual compact sets up two separate licenses. You can either have a single state license, so I can just have a license in Florida, or I could be a member of the compact and practice in the 26 compact states.
Senator Hayes, good question. Yes, sir, I did. Senator Grimsley, help me understand why the actions of the compact employees needs to be exempt from public records.
Well, I guess the question is, what public purpose would it serve if you're administering discipline to an administrative assistant, a clerical person? Because the compact is made up of the executive directors of each state that is a member of the compact, so they are our employees, so we would discipline them. But anyone in the compact that they may hire in the future would just be a clerical person. So I don't know what public interest that would serve. And the other,
okay,
other,
so what I'm struggling with here may be bogus, but the compact, if I understand the concept correctly, the compact essentially is a regional licensure agency for nurses. Is that correct?
It's a mechanism to allow reciprocity between
okay.
the states.
All right.
But your home state is still the one that oversees you.
Okay, but let's say that a nurse from Tennessee, Tennessee and Florida and Alabama are all part of this compact. And a nurse in Tennessee has disciplinary actions taken against him or her, and yet they now want a license here in Florida. And the compact, I would assume, is the one that's going to act on that reciprocity. Mm-hmm. Are we doing anything to shield that disciplinary action that occurred in Tennessee from the authorities here in Florida?
Actually, what happens is there's something called a nursing licensure information system, and all that information is in that system. So in Florida, if it's a Florida nurse and they want to apply to the compact to practice in the compact states, then the compact is able to go into our system and look, look at what discipline is out there. So it is perfectly, it's public records.
So this bill, this exemption that you want us to enact, doesn't shield any of that information?
That is correct.
Okay.
Okay. We have some public testimony.
Chairman, one more. I mean, and Senator Grimsley, you are taking the brunt of some concerns that have been building in some of us this year about these public records. It seems like we're really reaching with some of the public records exemptions that have been presented this year. And I guess maybe could you just summarize why you think any of this is necessary for this compact group? I mean, what is the public policy reason why their deliberations and their personnel and so forth should be exempt?
In order for the state of Florida to join the compact, we have to abide by their agreement, and their agreement requires a public exemption for these particular things within the compact. And we did have some issues with their initial language, and we've been able to work with them to get them to tweak.
Okay. Now I understand. That's understandable.
Okay.
Okay. Speaker cards, Brian Pitts.
Thank you very much. Obviously, this one is not flying a pretty straight. Oh, Brian Pitts, Justice Jesus. You know what your articles, the Constitution says, Article 1, Section 24C. That's what your guidelines are, policy whatsoever. In that same section, it says you will make implementing language for review of a new or continuing exemption for anything. So that's what you did in 119.15.6. That's your implementing language, at least for right now. It has the 7 to 10 criteria you will follow for any exemption, any review. That's a duty. Obviously, on this bill, I heard the sponsor mention what the policy reason was. It was not any of the 8 to 10 things mentioned in that 119.15 section 6. Mentioned that the compact will be used to trump state law. Which that cannot be done. Now, if she had put an issue of, well, it's federal law, and that's why we're doing it. No, a contract cannot trump a constitutional law. None of that. It's basic rights where the citizens involved. What the courts make very clear, anything Article 1 is citizen rights, which are of a higher degree than all the rest of the Constitution. So we're back to that same Article 1 where it tells you. Now, you haven't used that criteria. So here, the other problem is the compact, you don't have to get into compact. This don't mean we're not losing anything or gaining anything. If they want licensure, they can go to another state and easily. And some of those states will adapt the criteria and practicum for those other states. So they can cross state borders, just fulfill the requirements. Many have done it. So why change now to this? Now, again, back to the aspect, why the exemption? We come back again to the aspect of what staff has to say. So I got a problem, personally, because 8 through 9 of the staff analysis talks about the BREDIF issue, and it goes on. I mean, it's just jaw-dropping. Then on page 7 through 8 of staff analysis, it talks about problems and contradictions with the bill. And it goes on, different scenarios. They're trying to help you. They're trying to help you, whether it help your bill or kill it. That's what your job is. And at this point, they're telling you the bill is no good. Now, the sponsor could very clearly say, I don't agree with staff, and she kind of was going that way. But she needs to make very clear, at least the points I mentioned to staff now, is this we have not been taken care of, which you have. They bring out valid issues.
She should simply say, honestly, I don't agree with what staff got to say, and members here, I want to move on with the bill. That's not what he said. Now, don't listen to me, and at least on that case. You got what staff said. Look at 8, 7 through 9. You're just going to say, oh, okay, that's all right. We're just going to move. I don't think so. But I think staff, at least I'll appreciate staff on this one. Well, many things. But the bill is no good. You don't give exemptions for no reason.
Greg Pound.
Thank you, Chair and members. I want to thank this committee, the Oversight and Accountability Committee. These exemption bills, the record exemptions, is a play so they have limited liability and sovereign immunity. And I heard the statement on these bills that are going through, and it says aiding and abetting an obstruction of justice to protect from prosecution. And, you know, Brian says he doesn't understand, but I call it, we don't call it justice the right way. We call it justice the white way. There's a difference between justice the right way and justice the white way. And when they cover up and commit this fraud and commit crimes, and you can't get nothing. And if this ends up in court, it's going to cost somebody a lot of money. All it is someone's going to be protected. You're going to give a little clause in here, but they're going to have to go to court and fight this out in the court system. It's going to cost people a lot of money in order to find something out that they need to know in order to bring somebody to justice. And so, I don't know how many bills you guys have been passing for this exemption from public records. I mean, so it's just another one.
Thank you. For your justice. Martha DeCastro. Okay. Senator Grimsley, you recognize the close on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will just address Mr. Pitt's concerns. In FAR Statute 119.15, parentheses 6, parentheses B, and number 1, that's the section of law that talks about the public necessity statement being no broader than necessary, but it also says that this is necessary because it allows a state or its political subdivision to effectively administer a government program, which is what we're doing here, and I'd appreciate your favorable support.
Okay. Secretary, please call roll.
Senator Bullard. Senator Latvala.
Yes.
Senator Legg. Senator Hayes.
Yes.
Senator Ring.
Yes, by your vote, CSSB 1306 is reported favorably. Tab 3, CSSB 702. Devin West for Senator Altman. You ready? Yes. Senator Latvala, you ready?
I'm ready.
That on? Great. The bill provides for repeal of the exemption on October 2nd, 2021, unless reviewed and saved from repeal by the legislature. Because the bill creates a new public records exemption, it requires a two-thirds vote of the members present, voting each house of the legislature for final passage. The bill will take effect July 1st, 2016, but applies retroactively to all currently pre-registered 16 and 17-year-old minors.
Senator Lavella. Here we go. Take your time.
If you're pre-registered and you're 16 years old, does this bill mean that your voter registration information is always exempt?
Always, yes, according to our bill.
Okay. That's not the way it was explained to me. It was explained to me that it only applies to the 2 years until you're 18.
Oh, I apologize, sir. 16 and 17-year-olds. When you turn 18, it would become public record.
Okay, so you're representing to us that once you're 18, this is public record.
Correct, sir.
Could we get the staff to confirm that?
Senator Latvala, that's my understanding. When they turn 18, that information would become public. That's the way I read the bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Since the debate, Devin, you recognize the close? Oh, you recognize the close? Oh, no, wait, I have a speaker card. Ron Lebowski. Representing? Great. Yeah, you recognize close.
Wave close, Chair.
Okay. Call the roll on CSSB 702.
Senator Bullard. Senator Latvala.
Yes.
Senator Hayes.
Yes.
Senator Ring.
Yes. By your vote, CSSB 702 is reported favorably.
Yes, Chair.
Thank you. So it's our last meeting. I want to thank the staff who've done an amazing job for us the last 2 years, and thank the members and my co-chair, Senator Hayes, being an amazing co-chair the last 2 years. And with that, Senator Hayes moves to rise. Thank you.